B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
What up? Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy Friday to all across the Delaware Valley. Oh, it's not a football Friday. We got playoffs, but no Eagles. So without the Eagles, it's not a true football Friday in Philadelphia. Alas, we have a good win last night from your 10-9-8-76ers. Chunas, hit the song. Because it was a very good effort without Joel Embiid. And here's the worry. The worry is that Joe's going to be out 2 months. All right? Now, he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. But Reggie Miller had the same exact injury, and he said it took him 2 months to come back. Good news is he comes back. It's March. He's just got to get in shape. Because that's my only fear with him, is that he's not in shape. Now, it's only a finger, a hand, but the shape I'm concerned with. Because you know him, when he doesn't play, he gets out of shape. Now, last night, without him, Sixers played terrific ball. They allowed Boston 35 points in the first quarter. They were down 9 after 1. And after that, complete shutdown. They allowed just 63 the rest of the way. Hold the Celtics under 100. Outscore them by 18 in the second half. En route to a comfortable win. Jay Rich working with a lot of space. 29. Ben active. And I thought, you know, that second half, you really saw some good ball. Ben gives you 19, 9 boards. Horford active. What a game. 17 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists for Big Al. And so it was that kind of night, and it was a good night for them. Playing their first game without Joe. And now here's the deal. You're still chasing Boston for the 2 seed. So, you know, they're now 3-0 against the Celtics. You got Dallas tomorrow night, Indiana on Monday. So that's the road trip coming up. I'm actually going to be on it. So I'm looking forward to it. So hopefully that can continue without Embiid. And, you know, this is where they... You know, without the big man for this length of time, you can't lose in when it comes to the overall standings and the seedings. All right, we'll get to the Sixers. And my big question with them is, are we too hard on them? And anytime there's a loss, like yesterday, people were negative about them. Now, I'm more even keel. It's funny because people, I think, misconstrue how I am because I am an emotional being. But I'm only emotional when it comes to, like, either, like, dramatic victory in a game that means something or dramatic defeat and the other piece of it. But when it comes to a regular season, I'm pretty even keeled. And so I don't get too high, too low with them. I think they are my opinion hasn't changed. I think they can use scoring off the bench, but other than that, I like this team. And I still don't know who beats him other than Milwaukee in a 7-game series. But man, yesterday was tough. And it gets like that a lot with the Sixers. So, and listen, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, are we too hard? Are we too harsh? You can tell me no. and just give me a reason why. So let's kind of bat that around. And then we still have Eagles fallout because they're looking for a new offensive architect. They're looking for a new offensive help. Now, as expected, Doug Peterson said, and he said so to Angelo on the other station, he said that it was his idea to move on from Carson Walsh and Mike Rowe. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I know he has to say that because he has to save face. But there was a report by Jeff McClain, who I trust implicitly, that says Jeffrey Lurie had made up his mind in December. We played the news conference for you over and over yesterday with his tone and how he said it. Now, he apologized. Listen, I got to say this before we get deeply into it. He's a great dude. All right. Doug is a fabulous guy. There's a reason why his players love him and play for him and never quit on him. And I know sometimes I can get on him for maybe a little bit of lack of creativity with his offense. And I know it gets sometimes construed that I'm not the biggest fan. I think he's an average, whatever, X and O guy. I've said this a million times. But the most important part of coaching is communication with your players. Trust with your players. And he's got that tenfold with his players. He's a great dude. He really is. He's a fabulous guy. Extremely rootable. He's an awesome guy. He just is. He's just a gentleman and lovable. And I'm happy he's the coach. I don't believe that it was his idea. And I don't know that that's a bad thing. You know, maybe he's got the loyalty bug, which a guy like him probably would have. And sometimes you need to be said, this guy's not that good for you. And so maybe that's what happened with Jeffrey Lurie. I don't know. We don't know what really took place. But it kind of feels like Jeff told him to move on from Groh and Carson. I just think that's kind of what happened. And now we look for a new architect. I don't think it's a bad thing, really, from either perspective. I think Doug, how he handles this thing is exactly why his players never quit on him. Good morning, Tunis. You agree with that?
Yes, I do agree with that. And I thought it was interesting that Jeff McClain brought up that question at the end of the press conference before this whole fiasco happened with whether or not Carson Walsh and Mike Rowe were coming back. But when he brought up the senior advisor for the offense, because they do it for the defense, Doug Peterson talked about that, but if they would do it for the offense, and you could tell Doug got a little like snippy almost when he brought up, like, well, why would I need that? Why would I need that? But I think it is going to be a good move for the Eagles, depending on who they bring in. I mean, I hear all this talk about promote Deuce Staley, but what is Deuce Staley, like, why are people so set that Deuce Staley is going to be this great offensive coordinator? Like, I'm just opening up. I'm asking.
They're not. They know that Deuce has been here.
Yes.
They know that Deuce has won a Super Bowl, was part of the staff that won a Super Bowl. They love Deuce as a player.
Yeah, so do I.
So all that means, oh, well, give him the job. Now, none of us know. I don't know what kind of offensive mind he is.
Right.
He could be some great offensive mind that really deserves to be the OC. I don't know. I can't tell you what Deuce Staley's qualifications are because I haven't sat down. He hasn't said, hey, this kind of offense I like to run. This is, I don't know, you know.
But that's who everyone's calling for.
Yeah, but again, that's just being a fan.
And being comfortable with the name and stuff like that.
I think that's kind of an obvious, you know, yes, reason why. You like, he's a lovable guy, right, likable guy. Yeah, go Deuce, right?
But I'm with you. I like the move. I like that they did this. I was shocked when Doug Peterson said that they were coming back, which obviously eventually wasn't the truth. But I'm really interested to see who they bring in.
Yeah, I am too. I think... I don't know how Doug views it, because I don't think Doug's giving up the play calling. I think he should. And I think he needs to have... I think he's such a leader and such a, you know, a good personality. And why even bog down with the play call? I think he could use a real offensive designer. Either that or you bring in Jim Caldwell, who interests me because of his relationship with Peyton Manning and the Colts.
I don't see him giving a play calling, though.
He's not, but if you get Caldwell in here to help him out and, you know, build out the offense, I think the offense needs to be tweaked with Carson. All right, coming up at 10:50, Dan Orlovsky is going to join us from ESPN. We'll get his Carson take. We'll get his take on the Eagles offense. He and I had a real interesting conversation about the Eagles offense. So we're going to talk, I think, at length with him. We'll also talk to Tim McManus at 12:20, who's on top of that whole Doug story. So we'll do that. Lots of Sixers conversation to get to. We also have the Friday Five. Lots to do, just getting started on this No Eagles Football Friday. Oh, man. I'm still not over that stinking game. I'm still not over the hit. Yeah. All right, playoffs are still here, and some interesting games going on. And don't be caught saying, wait till next year. Get in on the action this weekend with the DraftKings Sportsbook app. So much going on this week. They got great promotions running every day, from odds boosts to free bets. DraftKings has it all, plus DraftKings Sportsbook is a safe and secure betting app. You can deposit, withdraw your funds at your convenience. It's no wonder the DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to top it off, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering their best sign-up offer to date right now. You don't want to miss it. Go to DraftKings.com/Fanatic. Here you go. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook going all out with a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's DraftKings.com/Fanatic to get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Got to be 21 or older, PA only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match. Each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
O'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right. I asked you about the Twitter poll because I cringe already at some of the responses that you've already gotten. The Twitter poll, of course, is brought to you by Marvin E. Cairns Heating, Air Conditioning, and Duct Cleaning. Who can keep your wife warm this winter? Cairns can, with emergency HVAC repair service available 7 days a week. Special financing on the new Trane heating and cooling system. If you need one, visit MarvinEcairns.com today.
All right, the question at 975 midday, simple. Is Philadelphia too hard on the Sixers? Well, Anthony, 66% say no, that they're not too hard on the Sixers. 34% say yes, that Philadelphia is too hard on the Sixers. And my favorite
it's
answer...
It's kind of like harsh is what I... You know, it's the same thing, but harsh is a little bit different connotation. But go ahead.
My favorite answer is this. It's only December. Relax. Plus, I don't think we're hard enough on Ben.
That's great.
That dude gets killed every night.
That's awesome.
He had a slow second quarter offensively yesterday, and he was getting crushed for it. They then went silent the second half, but he had a slow second quarter, and he gets crushed for it. And then, of course, get the when's the last time they won anything. Sixers fans are just as soft, somebody said. And then Nick goes...
Just as soft? Like, what's that mean?
I don't know. And then Nick goes, how long is the process supposed to last? This is why I'm hard on him.
Well, this is fascinating. Man, it's such an interesting conversation. I want you guys to call. Everybody who already posted, call up, man. Let's have a conversation about this. So the process goes... You know, it's such an interesting topic. I find them fascinating. So the process begins with the kind of Nerlens first year, right? Like that, we're going to lose, and we know we're kind of going to lose. And it ends 2 years ago, right? Like it ends, the process goes from wanting to lose to then competing. So we've had two playoffs of competing. Would you say that's correct?
Yes, that is correct. So two seasons of competing, second round of the playoffs.
So I would think the process, the way I viewed it, has been over for two seasons. Sure, it's kind of a continuation, but I think the process is a rousing success because you're in the conversation as a title contender.
Now, I have said in the past, and I still kind of believe it, I will call it an ultimate success when they finally win a championship.
I hear that argument, but you can only be in the conversation. Like, you can only be in the mix. If you're a contender, I mean, that's what it's there for. To actually win it, it's, you know, you can't assure yourself of winning it by collecting assets. You got to just be in the mix.
Right, and I get it. They were never going to be in the mix before doing it with the 7th seed, 8th seed, Sixers.
As someone who, we all lived through the purgatory, I couldn't take the purgatory because my purgatory went on longer than yours, all right?
Yes.
My purgatory started in the 90s. And the AI years, and as much as I love the dude, and I still get great memories and stuff, it wasn't a real championship team. They had a run, and they were never really going to beat the Lakers. Yeah, I would have taken a miracle to do that. And that was it. It was 1 year in the finals. The process, for me, came because purgatory was pre-Iverson, post-Iverson, post-post-Iverson, right? Like, it was multi-generational purgatory. So, like, it's like, yo, blow the damn thing up once and for all. And so that's why I gravitated toward it. And to me, it's a success because I can win it. Like, if I can sit here and say the Sixers can win a title, I'm not saying they're going to win a title, but they can, theoretically. They're in the mix. They're one of the handful of teams that's in the mix. Go look at Vegas odds or whatever, right? They're in the mix. So that means it worked.
Yeah, because whereas before, they were never in the mix. And I get that. I don't know if it's more so, like, because I was on board with the process. Don't get me wrong. I was still going down in the games, but I don't know if it was a personal thing because it happened my latter years of high school and then throughout college. It was like, all right, I basically had no Sixers, real Sixers basketball.
Right.
So maybe that's what it is. And that's why I say, all right, I have to see a championship, a trophy, a parade down Broad Street for it to be an ultimate success. But I understand what you're saying because they were a 7-8 seed at best the years before. And that run that they had when they beat Chicago because D. Rose and Joakim Noah went down, that's not because they were talented. It's because they got some luck with the injuries. And yeah, they went 7 with Boston the following round, which was...
Right, but they weren't going to beat LeBron.
Exactly.
So that's why I craved the process. I loved it. Like, you know, I needed to push the restart button in every sense of the word.
But for me to even say, now I say ultimate goal is a championship, but I'm still not as harsh as some people are today.
Yeah, but like, but my question to those people is like, all right, like, did you really expect them to win a title either the last 2 years?
I guess. I was going back and forth.
I mean, first
someone.
Of all, the first year, they weren't, if you pay attention a little bit to the NBA, they weren't going to, 2 years ago, their first foray into the playoffs. Still, you have Golden State. Last year, you know, they're a quadruple doink from actually playing Milwaukee in Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, maybe if the tummy ache doesn't happen for Joe, they're in there, and who knows, they're in the finals. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's
so I don't get all the hyper criticism going on. You gotta explain that to me.
I personally can't.
Well, I'm talking about those people. All right, let's get to the phone lines. Let's go to Stu in Delaware County. Gets us started. What do you say, Stewie?
What's going on, brother? It's always a pleasure, man. How are you?
Happy Friday, brother. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, bro. Listen, real quick on your process situation. I believe they're past the process, but we always look at this as a football mentality, and everything is going to be hard and edge just based on how we look at football.
And I think you're right. I think you're right about that. I think we look at every sport through the prism of football eyes or the football prism. Right.
Yep. And then whatever happens with that game, then it's almost like we got all week to burn it and process. Even though they could play another game, we're still thinking about how bad they played against said team, and then it just burns in our skull. But real quick to Doug.
Yes.
And to me, listening to this press conference, listening to all the hubbub and all the commotion that he started, reminds me of when the first press conference, when they hired him and they got outed in the playoffs, and Doug said, "I called all the plays in the playoff game." And everybody was like, "That's Andy Reid's team. And you know, Andy Reid calls all the plays. Why are you saying this?"
Right.
And, you know, it's like he fell on his sword for his coaches, thinking that he could save their job, saying that, "Oh yeah, they're back." And then when he met with Jeffrey Lurie, Jeffrey had something else to say, and he was like, "Listen, some things got to change," and he had to let his coaches go. And to me, I don't know how much Doug has any control even over his coaches. Jim Schwartz has more control over his coaches than Doug. I mean, Corey Unglin's been here forever, and Jeff is. Doug has gone through 5 wide receiver coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know how much. I'm not judging power. I don't like really judging power, but, you know, you got to think of it like, all right, every time Doug's turning around, changing over his coaches, how much continuity does he have? How much is Jeffrey Lurie Midland in his coaching staff? Because he knows he's Andy Reid-like, but not Andy Reid.
Yeah, I think it's less. I think it's more simple than that. Mm-hmm. And I think, Stu, Jeffrey goes, "Listen, Nate, Doug, I know you're loyal to these guys, and I know you like them, but, you know, they got to go." I think it's simple as Mike Rowe is just not good enough. And I think Jeffrey saw that and said to Doug, like, "You really should get rid of these guys." Like, I think remember, he didn't have the meeting yet with Jeffrey, right? So he has the press conference, says what he says. He then goes and has the meeting with Jeffrey, and Lori's probably like, "Hey, you know, I don't think you should keep these guys." And now when the owner and your boss is saying, "Yeah, I don't think so," and he's pretty steadfast that you got to do what you got to do, right?
Uh-huh, but here's the question. Everybody's saying, why have this whole show before you even met with the owner?
Oh, I agree. To me, it's silly. You shouldn't have. And that's on really on Jeffrey, because, you know, more planning, communication. But if you know that there's still some kind of, you know, uncertainty involving your coaches, why even do it?
Yeah, I know the media was pressing them, but all they had to say was basically, "Hey, we're still evaluating everybody."
Yeah, I agree.
Nothing set in stone.
Yeah, there's no communication. I agree. I think you're right. You're dead on, Stu. Good call, as always, brother. Thank you. Yeah. And look, ultimately, you know, who cares? I actually think I like what Lori did. because I think Mike Rowe needs to go. I think they need a new voice. I think they need a more veteran help for Doug. And, you know, hey, look, God bless Deuce. If Deuce is the guy, that would be great. But I kind of like the Jim Caldwell idea really intrigues me. I like a guy that's been around a little bit, that's actually called plays, that's designed offenses, been around, not someone that's new again on the job.
And it makes sense because you bring up Caldwell and his relation with Peyton Manning. I mean, not that Carson Wentz is constantly making changes at the line, but a guy that we can tell Carson Wentz, when he's at the line and making calls himself, when he's playing a fast pace, up tempo offense, he's a better quarterback.
Yes.
And maybe they could design an up tempo offense for Carson.
I mean, how many times did we talk about, hey, good time to go tempo here?
Yep.
Before he got hurt, I wanted to go tempo. I was going, all right, well, you know, how many times did we talk about his Doug's first quarters and his struggles in the script? You know, maybe another guy to help out with the game plan. This is not a shot at Doug. We know what he does best. And what he does best is crucial for a team. To get players to buy into your system, to get players to play for you. That's the most important thing. You can have the smartest X and O man, some egghead X and O guy that has no relatability, those skills to relate at all, right? There's no relatability. Well, what good is it? If the players are, if you can't relate that to the players, you can't relate to the players, it doesn't matter you're Mr. X and O.
Chip Kelly.
Yes.
Even though he wasn't the smartest X and O guy.
No, but yeah, that's a great point. It is true. They didn't want to play for him in many ways. And he was pretty innovative early on. He took a lot of Saturday principles, a lot of college football Saturday principles, and incorporated them on Sunday. And ultimately, he was an ass, right? And players didn't like him. Nobody liked him in the building. And it's a perfect example. Doug's the opposite of Chip Kelly. In every way, he's the opposite. Tony in Baltimore, you're on 97.5 The Fan. Tone!
Anthony, long-time listener, huge fan, first-time calling in, man. Such a pleasure.
What's going on, my man? What's going on?
I felt compelled for the first time to call here because I love this subject, and I'm very passionate about it.
Yes.
You're absolutely too harsh on the Sixers. Specifically because how we were built. It's a long season. Now, Joel Embiid aside, when we get him back, we'll be even stronger. This team is built on defense, size, short-range jumpers, and driving the hoop. And with how we're built, I don't see why we're jumping the gun here and maybe being a little, I don't know, just jumping the gun here and getting a little hyped up if you lose a game. It's a long season, and who are we going to lose to in a 5 or a 7-game series? We're built to wear teams down.
Yes, brother. Yes, I agree.
And also, I was talking to my brother about this. Why I love my Sixers so much is we're built with young, amazing athletes, but old school. I feel like this is a team that would have competed with the 90s, those big, big teams of the Ewings and the Jordans and all of those guys. So that creates the debate. Can an old-school form team, based on defense and size and punch you in the mouth, can you compete with the outside shooting teams? And I think we can. I think we win the East. Not saying we're winning it all, but I'm saying everybody relax. Long season. We got this. Let's just let it roll out.
Yeah, and listen, I get angst. And there are times when, you know, you dive in and you get angst-ridden. That's all part of it. But it does get way too harsh. Fire this guy, trade this guy. I mean, you know, I keep hearing this, and I've heard it a couple times. This trade Ben for D'Angelo Russell. I mean, are you crazy? It's the absolute worst idea ever. Are you kidding me?
I don't know what kind of person. I feel like I'm a pretty educated fan, but when people jump the gun a little bit and they exaggerate after a loss, that's insane. Ben Simmons is going to continue to develop. And I said this all last year, so I'm happy I'm finally calling in here. I don't need Ben to shoot a million threes. Ben is amazing because he's 6'10", drives the hoop, rebounds. He's a triple-double threat every night. I don't need a point guard to shoot, score 30 points.
Yes,
that's all we got other guys to do that. And how many other point guards in the league can you say, hey, game's on the line, and we need a rebound. Well, hey, we got a 6'10 point guard that has attitude and will get in.
I agree. I agree.
We're a tough team, man. We're tough. I want to see us.
I'm with you.
With us.
Hey, the Tunis wants you to put you in the mix for Caller of the Week. Hold on, Tony. The Tunis is in charge. You got to come to clean to the audience.
Yes, yeah. I appreciate every point that he made and his passion, and he should continue to call the station.
So here you go. You ready?
Yes.
Jim Caldwell. I mean, look at this resume. So he's the assistant head coach, a quarterback's coach for the Colts from 2002 to 2008. Prime Peyton years.
Yes.
He's the head coach from 09 to 11. Prime Peyton years. He goes to Baltimore as the OC 2012-2013, wins the Super Bowl there. I mean,
with not elite quarterback Joe Flacco.
Right. Good, strong running game. I love the idea of Caldwell. He's the kind of guy I think that would work perfect with Doug. All right. He worked with Stafford. You can say what you want about Stafford. Before that, he helped. He was a head coach with Stafford. And look what Stafford, before he got hurt, was playing his best football. Played some great football. And I think he put a lot of work into the kid. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Good Sixers and Eagles conversation. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunis.
All right, we got a big day Monday. Clemson and LSU, they're facing off in the national championship, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you the chance to get an even bigger win when you bet on the game. Sign up with promo code CHAMP and bet at least $1 on the money line at regular odds. And if you win, FanDuel Sportsbook will pay you out at 150-1 odds. Just sign up with promo code CHAMP to qualify. There's plenty more to bet on at FanDuel Sportsbook. You got the parlays, spreads, round robins, and special promos running every day, like touchdown bonuses and boosted odds. Speaking of parlays, Ben Simmons, Al Horford, the over, bang. Best of all, FanDuel Sportsbook has lightning fast withdrawals, so you can have your winnings in your pocket in as little as 24 hours. So sign up with promo code CHAMP, that's C-H-A-M-P, then bet $1 on the Clemson or LSU money line, and you'll get paid 150-1 odds inside credit if your bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app now or visit FanDuel.com/sportsbook to bet today. Must be 21 or older and physically present in New Jersey or PA. First wager only. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable site credit that expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. Minimum $1 money line wager, max $150 bonus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show as we close out the week. It's a shame because there's some good games over the weekend, obviously, with the divisional matchups. So it was a great weekend. But after Sunday and just the emptiness, you know, you kind of slog into it. We'll watch, but it's kind of a sloggy weekend for us. Now joining us, a fabulous offensive mind. He's one of the great follows on Twitter. Watch him, study, learn from him. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN, one of my faves on the Comcast Business Hotline. Danny.
Good morning. What's going on, champ?
Did you put your hat in the ring for OC?
I There's wheels in motion for lots of things in my life.
Good. Would you let me ask you a question? Would you like to do that? Would you like to get into coaching?
In the right situation with the right people, absolutely. I'll always want to coach. It's kind of how I was wired as a player in that role. And what I do now is I view as coaching as well. On television, just coaching a bunch of people, but in the right situation with the right quarterback and team and place, there's no doubt.
How much do you toil around with your own offense? Like, if I said to you, I want to see what you're about. Give me you as an architect of the Dan Orlovsky offense. How much do you do that?
Oh, I do it all the time. And I you're constantly changing the way you think offensively, I never like when coaches say we're going to do this offensively. I've never understood that. I've never understood when defensive coaches say we're going to stop the run.
Right.
Happens if they throw for 600 yards on you.
Right.
I often, think about my mind and what it would be schematically and all the things like that. I think that the biggest thing that I would be the foundation of what I would do offensively is constant balance and constant rhythm and constant being on the offensive. And whatever that looks like with whatever we have against whoever we're playing is the goal.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that you figure out what your players are really good at. You figure out what they're not good at, and you allow them to major in one and don't expose them to the other. And that football should be fluid. I think the biggest thing is when you're a good coach, you never have a destination that you're locked in on. It's always a moving target, and you just have to continue to bend and flow and move towards that target.
Yeah, I'm with you, and it's also – your vulnerabilities of your opponent come into play. Like I mean, how many times? It's funny when you look at Belichick throughout the years, and how they would attack in so many different ways. One week they would, be a run heavy big package, and another week they're using, James White out of the backfield, for 12 times. He would change everything to take advantage of weaknesses. And I always thought, coaches get married into their own system. And sometimes it's to their detriment.
Yeah, I mean, and that you see that throughout the NFL where a coach has a system. And the system is predicated on, all right, well, we got a big-time back. Or, our tight end is the focal point. Or we really want to distribute the ball in a short passing game. Well, what happens if that back goes down? Or what happens if he's not playing well? Or what happens if the defense that you're playing against plays a ton of coverage that doesn't allow for that short passing game, but they have weaknesses in other areas? And that's why, I've never liked teams that pigeonhole themselves in. And, I think a lot of times coaches, they do that because that's all they know.
Yeah.
They can't be flexible. There's value in saying we're going to do what we do. I believe in that. But what do you do? What you do should be making sure that you're scoring points in a fashion to win the football game. So you can still have your own identity, but that identity needs to be something that can constantly change. Your identity should be rooted in fundamentals, not in X's and O's.
I'm completely with you. Dan Orlovsky with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. So what did you make of the Eagles and what went down with Mike Rowe and Carson Walsh?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I don't know the intimate details of how it all went down. And Doug saying one thing and then within 24 hours another thing. I'm of the belief that Doug Peterson is one of the five best coaches in the NFL. And I think that's been proven. I don't know if there's a lot of people that can argue that. So if he's making a decision in regards to that, or if he's signing off on a decision that somebody else is making, I believe in it. And I think that that is the best decision for his football team. I think that you can make the claim that there was some evidence that you never like someone losing their job. No one needs to say
right.
that. But there's some evidence there that you go, it doesn't make a lot of sense why this team is doing this or why this player is doing this. And so when a coach determines this is not the best for me right now. This is not the best for my players right now or in the future. I think it's hard to dispute when somebody's had this thing, the amount of success he has had. Now, he's got to find a coach and somebody that gets his quarterback. And I don't think there's a lot of people on the planet that know quarterbacks really, really, really well and know offensive football really, really, really well, especially right now, not 20 years ago, but right now. And that's going to be his biggest challenge, is finding that person that gets all those pieces and puts the puzzle together.
Is there anyone out there that you look at and you go, you know, a couple of the guys that impress you? Maybe they're a veteran type, or maybe they're a younger guy with that you know of that you think would be a good fit. Knowing that you have Wentz, and knowing that you have a lot of assets in this draft that's very rich in wide receiver. I think, you know, you need to have a really good architect to help Doug with his offense. Because I agree with you. As a coach, he's tremendous. I mean, his players love him. They play for him. I think he can use a wingman that's a good offensive architect.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think there's a bunch of names that you're going to hear and that there's value in. I agree that it's got to be something, like, I'll always be a little bit biased on backup quarterbacks or quarterbacks that had to play the game X's and O's and intelligence-wise rather than the physical specimen-wise.
Yeah.
So I'll be dead honest with you. I don't think there's a lot of people on the planet better than me right now to fill a role.
My
like
man.
I would say Mike Kafka is somebody that...
Yeah.
And it's also because... It's not because Kafka has ties to the Eagles, but Kafka... with Andy Reid connection, but also the transition from the offense that Andy ran to what he does with Mahomes now. It's well documented that I think that's something that a player like Carson Wentz should be in that style. I think that you can make the case for Deuce Staley as long as that your quarterback coach is somebody that has got some conversation and some merit in that room to be had. I would say, you know, Jim Caldwell's name will be thrown around a little bit. I played for Coach Caldwell, and he's really smart.
I brought him up. I just was talking about him like 5 minutes ago before you came on, because I love Caldwell. I think, if not you, Danny, I like Caldwell. I think he is smart. I like the fact that, you know, he worked with Peyton and that offense, because I think... they need to be more vertical, the Eagles. Now, they need to get the personnel to help them to get more vertical. But I think with Carson, and you have talked about it all year long, you got to get more chunk plays with him at quarterback.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that goes to some of the people around him, too. Like, you've got to make sure, like, with calling football plays, you know, great play callers are like a great golfer in my eyes, where Tiger Woods talks about golf, and he says, he gets to a hole and he plays the hole backwards. Okay, if I want to make a four on this hole, how do I do that as the end result, as my starting point, and then work myself back to the tee box? Okay, well, if I want to get a chunk play on offense, how does that 30-yard completion actually happen? Okay, is it one guy whooping somebody on a route? Is it a route combination? Is it a play action? Is it, you know, so how do I actually kind of make that happen? And I think that's really important for however this offense is built moving forward, whoever the play caller and designer is you got to start stuff from the end result and work its way back and figure out how can you do that with what you have.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm completely with you. It's 11:02. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, along from Comcast, where Beasley Media Group Station.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.